Matt Barnes joins us on Sports Byline. Fine NBA guard and forward for the Clippers. Double-digit seasons now in the NBA. And Matt, yeah, you know, this may sound kind of funny, but when you have a chance now to sit back and think about everything that's happened over the last year with you and with the Clippers, what do you shake your head about, and what is it that stays with you about it?
What stays with me is just what we have. I think we have, you know, kind of a changing of the guard with the franchise. I think to the players they've recruited and signed, to the coach, to just kind of a facelift of the organization. The Sterling situation was obviously unfortunate, and, you know, kind of just shows you, you know, racism is still very prevalent in the society we live in. But at the same time, you know, you grow and you learn. I think one of the biggest things is, as individuals, is, you know, you really learn and grow when something like that happens, you know, so close to your, you know, your second family almost, to the team. You know, there was a lot of mixed emotions and things we should have done and shouldn't have done. But you really just kind of learn a lot about yourself. And, you know, you kind of take a stance and have an understanding of, you know, hey, is this racism? Is this, you know, a way he was brought up? Is this, you know, something that's still around? You know, so it just really makes you sit back and think. And like I said, just to kind of wrap it up, overall, I think we have something great. Last year was an unfortunate situation, but we're definitely ready to get back to work next season.
You know, Matt, one of the things I thought about, and maybe it's because I grew up in a military family, I've been exposed to a lot of cultures, a lot of different people, I have friends of all persuasions, was this was somewhat of an aha moment for sports. And what I mean by that is, now looking back on it all, I think it really opened a lot of people's eyes about these things do exist, and we've got to be more aware of them. I think the Michael Sam situation in the NFL, another Jason Collins, another thing. Are we breaking down barriers now? Do you sense that this is an aha moment for sports as far as maybe doing business a different way?
I think we are breaking down doors, but we have to understand with breaking down those doors, you know, we're obviously creating change, and creating change is never easy. You know, with the Michael Sam situation, you know, talent aside, that's just a completely new situation. The Jason Collins talent aside is just a completely new situation for, you know, we're supposed to be the most, you know, dominant, barbaric, physical, you know, for football, barbaric, but just athletes in the world. And to think that, you know, our teammate can be, you know, attracted to us, you know, at the but just for an example, it kind of opens your eyes, but at the same time, you know, I think I know Collins, but I've not known Mr. Sam very well. All they want to do is play. You know, they want to do their job. You know, at the end of the day, that's what we all grew up. He wanted to be a football player. Jason wanted to be a basketball player. They want to do their job. So I think their preference of, you know, who they're attracted to off the court shouldn't matter. But with that being said, we still live in a world where, you know, a lot of judgments passed, and, you know, people have, you know, crazy ideologies about what they do and how people are, you know. So I definitely think it's an eye-opening experience, but with that experience, you're going to experience a lot of hate and a lot of just unknown. You know, not a lot of people know about this because it's the first time it's happened.
Matt, help me out a little bit. How were the Clippers able to be so focused? Because focus is such an important part in a performance business like basketball. How were they able to be that focused during the course of the playoffs against the Warriors after that happened?
It was very tough. It was very tough. You know, we had a meeting the morning it broke. Do we sit out? Do we play? Do we make a stand? You know, so there's always a lot of other distractions that, you know, obviously go on with playing basketball in L.A. and playing in the playoffs. But with this added pressure and obstacle, it was very difficult. I think we handled it as well as we possibly could. I think at the end of the day, it got to us a little bit. But luckily, we were able to move past it. And, you know, the sale was just finalized a couple of days ago, and we're looking forward to working for our new owner.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, this is an ongoing saga to some degree. While it looks like there's a definite outcome in place, if there's anything hanging over any decisions, will that be something that will be distracting to the Clippers as we start a new season?
No, I think the biggest obstacle is, you know, have been cleared. You know, with the ruling that, you know, Mr. Sterling is going to have to relinquish the team and sell it. Now, everything else, I think, as players, that's all we are looking for. You know, so now we're going to let, you know, the process take care of itself, and we can get back to focusing on basketball.
You know, Matt, I got to know you when you were with the Warriors here, and I know that you're somebody that gives an awful lot back to the community and to kids. Tell me a little bit about the seeds of you wanting to give back. Where did that come from?
Just never having the opportunity when I was younger. You know, I grew up in a rough neighborhood, and we never had celebrities. You know, we never had athletes. We had drugs, guns, and violence. You know, so I think now that I'm a little older, you know, just the opportunity to be able to give back to some of these kids who are growing up the same way I did, and just let them know that, hey, you know, there is a chance. You know, there's a lot of great opportunity out there if you just stick to what you're doing and, you know, finish school and see what the world holds for you.
You know, it's interesting you say that because Grant Hill and I were talking about this at one time, and I said, Grant, what is it that you think kids see when they see a basketball player, an NBA player, or any professional athlete? He said, first of all, they know how much I'm making. Second of all, they look at the car I'm driving. And third, they look at the jewelry that I have on. Has that changed to any degree? And what has given those kids that impression that they don't understand the hard work that it takes for you and other athletes to get to where you are?
I just think that everyone thinks that, you take the top off, please. Once you come into the NBA, that you're in a mansion and you're driving Lamborghinis and you have endless women and you have endless money, and that's really very far from the truth. You know, it's a lot of hard work. You know, myself personally, I've been on a roller coaster my whole career. You know, yes, I have made good money, and yes, I did live a good life, but there's a lot more that goes to it and comes with this territory.
Yeah, in the very beginning, it was hard for you because you played in the kind of minor leagues of professional basketball, and it wasn't until you hit the Golden State Warriors that things came together. Were you a late bloomer? Is that the best thing to say?
Late bloomer, but just really a late opportunity. The opportunity was late. You know, I think there's a lot of guys in my position that can really play but need that opportunity. And that's why I'll forever be grateful to Golden State was, you know, Don Nelson believed in me and gave me an opportunity to play. And like I said, there's 450 of us in the world that play in the NBA, and, you know, all of us can play. It's just, you know, the right time and right place and opportunity, and, you know, unfortunately that's what I got with Golden State.
Tell me a little bit about this camp, because it's more than just basketball. It's a well-rounded education camp, is it not, Matt?
Yes. I mean, we talk about, you know, everything from basketball to school to life. You know, one thing I try to stress with, you know, my kids and pass on to these other kids is basketball is not life. It's been a tremendous opportunity in giving me the life I live, but it may not be for everybody. You know, the thing we encourage with our kids is to, you know, we got to play in every sport. And, you know, they're in language. We have them in different language classes. I mean, I think it's important to find your niche. You know, even though your parents may want you to play basketball, that may not be your thing. But why can't we talk about life? We talk, like I said, we have people from different backgrounds come in and talk to the kids, along with getting a chance to, you know, it's at EA Sports, you get to see all the new video games and play all the new video games before they come out. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we play games out in the field. So it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do, and, you know, it's what brings a smile to my face is knowing that we're making kids happy and changing their lives.
When you look into a kid's face at your camp, can you tell when they're really taking it in, when it's really affected them in a positive way?
I think so. I think, I mean, being a father, I mean, the looks on their face when you see their eyes get big or their mouth get open, but they don't say nothing, like kind of like that wow look on their face. You know, and that's what really keeps me going because, like I said, me growing up, I never had that chance. And I knew that, you know, I would love to see Magic Johnson come into a gym and talk to me or, you know, other people I looked up to come in and talk to me. So you really see without them saying anything, just their facial expression gives it all away.
Yeah, we only have 90 seconds left. But at this point in your career, as I said, double-digit years in professional basketball, where are you with your game and what do you want to do the rest of the way until you walk off that court for the last time, Matt?
I'm still growing. I'm still getting better. I've been fortunate enough, you know, going into my 12th season, but my first 4 years I didn't play, so, you know, I still have a lot to offer. I still have another 4 or 5 years to go, and my thing now is just working on consistency. You know, my game is what it is, but I can always fine-tune and get to the point where every time I'm on the court, you know, the team, the coach, the organization knows what they're going to get from me, and that's something I strive for and continue to work on in the summer is just being consistent in my role.
Are the Clippers ready to go the next step in your mind?
I think so. I think our biggest obstacle as a team is mental toughness. You know, we have a great coaching staff. We have the most athletic players on earth, you know, the best point guard in the world. So, you know, we have everything it takes on paper. I think our next hurdle is, you know, mentally overcoming obstacles that have slowed us down in the past.
Matt, as you know, we're heard worldwide on the American Forces Network, and I'm sure you'd like to send a quick shout-out to the troops that get a chance to listen worldwide.
Yes, this is Matt Barnes of the L.A. Clippers, and we're giving a big shout-out to all the men and women in the armed forces that allow me, my teammates, and all of us that are out here to live the lives we live. We couldn't do it without you guys, and we love and appreciate you guys.
Matt, I want to thank you. You're one of the good people in life and in sports as well. I always enjoy our conversations. Good luck with the camp, and I'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Right. Matt Barnes with us again, NBA guard and forward for the Clippers. You heard him say 12 years in the NBA now, and he talked about the Clippers going forward this season. We've got you on Sports Byline.